Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We will begin Beis Rosh Hashem's Baruch on Daf Kuf Tav Zayin Amud Beis. The last words on the Amud. By Reb Abba Mamamu, Kishuhu, in the situation that the person's upper story apartment was destroyed, and as we learned in the Mishnah in the previous Shi'ur in the Gemara, that under those circumstances, the upstairs tenant can move downstairs. When Levadu Hudar, does he live there on his own? I mean, does the landlord have to vacate his apartment? Can he carry up? Just like when the tenant was living upstairs, he was obviously living upstairs, just he and his family. Idilma Shnehim, do Darin. Or do the landlord and the tenant live together in that downstairs apartment? Domele, for the landlord, could suggest to the tenant, Adatin dafkirin loy agrilach. I never rented to you my apartment with the intention that you should be able to evict me. And continues the Gemara. And im temtzalayim mishneim darimba. And if we're going to say that this is a strong argument, and since it's a strong argument, he can make this argument, and they live there together. So now the Gemara asks, when this tenant who previously lived upstairs and now is going to live downstairs, how does he enter the downstairs apartment? Does he enter the downstairs apartment by going through the front door, or derech gagan mishtamish? Or does he going upstairs and then coming downstairs? And the Gemara says, Mi Omer, the Gemara elaborates. The Gemara says, can the landlord say, Kidimikara, just like till now when you entered your apartment, you walked from upstairs downstairs. Mami kara derech gagan, you always walk from upstairs downstairs. Hashtanami, the way you could only enter your apartment is derech gagan, by walking from upstairs to downstairs. Adima matza amalei, or perhaps the tenant can say, Aliyah kabal elai, I accepted upon myself to live in an upper apartment, and I recognize that when you live upstairs, the only way you're going to get to your apartment upstairs is by walking upstairs. But here, I did not accept upon myself, he says, to have to walk upstairs. I never took that upon myself. So the Mashal asks a question that we know, and it's a rule that we often learn in this Masechta. We learned it in Masechta Baba Kama as well, that Kaifer Amidah Sadoim. The definition of Kaifer Amidah Sadoim is that we don't force a person, we can't ask a person, we don't allow a person to do things that are just unfair. So the question here is that why should you be allowed to force a person to walk upstairs and downstairs just to be able to walk in the other downstairs apartment? That's just unfair, and there's no purpose in doing so. Why should you be allowed to do that? So the Mashal answers that obviously this person who lives in the downstairs apartment is dissatisfied with this arrangement. And because he's dissatisfied with this arrangement, he wants to do things that will keep the person who lives upstairs living upstairs as much as possible. And therefore, in this case, explains the Mashal, I could say go up and down, maybe like that you won't be here as often. Here, and the Rishonim elaborate on that as well, the other Mefarshim, and they say that the concept of Kaif and Midas Adoyim is very much related to the concept of Zen Nenev Zolei Chosar. That if I have nothing to lose, I have no right to make you do things that will cause discomfort to you and it doesn't mean anything to me. So they explain, here, obviously, you now living together with me in one apartment is certainly something that I'm dissatisfied with. In such a situation, I could take a position that I want to make it not so comfortable for you. Imtim Tzulayma, continues the Gemara, Imtim Tzulayma, if we'll say, Matzi Amalei, that the landlord, that the tenant could say to the landlord, Aliyah v'irida la kibila lai, I never accepted upon myself that I should have to get into my apartment, I have to go up and then back down. And therefore, you can't force me to have to go do so now that I'm living downstairs. What's going to be the halacha, asked the Gemara, shtei aliyah zu gavzu, when the house has three stories and the landlord rented him one of the upper stories, mahu. What is going to be the halacha? Vifchas el yoinah, and the most upper story is the story that got affected, it's not livable. Nochis v'dar b'tachtoina. So now the tenant could say, well, if the third floor apartment is not available, I'm now going to start living in the second apartment, floor apartment. Viftis tachtoina, and then that second floor apartment also got damaged. Mau l'mislik l'gamri bel yoina. Can the landlord tell him to live in the upper apartment, the third floor? Or me, I mean, Darmalay, candle. Now it's not a third floor apartment is usable. So now the question is, he rented the second floor, but the second floor is not usable, and the landlord wants him to go up to the third floor. And the question is, me and Rina Damalay, Shemalay Kabilas Lok, you accepted that you're going to live on an upper story. And therefore, if the second floor is not available, you have to go up to the third floor. Adilma, the tenant could say, I was willing to live on the second floor. I'm not willing to live on the third floor. And the Gemara remains with a taiku. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said, when you have a problem with the ceiling on the bottom floor, which is also the floor of the upper floor, the person who lives downstairs has to supply the ceiling. Ask the Gemara, my tikra, what is exactly meant with that? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Chanina Amar, Kinim Usnoim. He has to give the beams and the way that they used to interconnect the beams. The Stini Amar, Stini is the name of a Tana, Stini Amar Resh Lakish, Levachim, he has to give beams that are made out of Erez, V'loi Pligi. And he says there's really no Machlokes. The point is that Makasri, as we keep on learning throughout a Masechta, that what is done in these situations is the Minig Medina. So in every place, you have to give the building supplies as is the Minig Hamakam. It says, Gwahani Bay Trade, I have a diary. You had two people that were living in one home. Echod Teloi V'Echatatoi. One was living in the upper apartment, and one was living in the bottom apartment. The way the Rishonim explains this Gemara is that these two apartments, this was a condominium. Each person owned the floor on which he lived. And says the Gemara, Ifchas Meziva, the cement that is put on top of the floor, ceiling, fell apart. And because of that, when the person in the upper apartment would wash his hands, asli umaskalatatoi, they would leak into the bottom, says the Rivosh. The question here is because when the upper tenant washed his hands, this would happen. But let's say there was water dripping all of the time from upstairs to downstairs. The Rivosh wants to suggest that then certainly the upper floor has to repair it. Here the question was, the person who lived on the upper floor, when he washed his hands, the water would go down to the bottom floor. So the question here is, who has to pay for this repair? The person that owns the upper floor apartment has to pay for this repair. For beloy mishum Rabbi Chiba, Rabbi Yosi Amar Atachten, it was the person on the bottom floor that has to pay for it. The siman and the siman to remember who holds what is Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. The pasuk says the Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. Hurad is the bottom. So now we say from here we remember that Rabbi Yosi says the bottom. Actually, this Gemara is the basis for a discussion which I already saw that the Brisker Rav discussed. The Brisker Rav asks if the name Yosef and Yossi are the same name. And here the Gemara says that his name, that the one that said the opinion that the bottom floor has to pay for this repair is Reb Yossi, but the siman that's given is Yosef. So we see that Yosef and Yosef are the same. I did see that there are those that disagree. And they say that Yosef and Yossi are really not the same name. Here the Gemara is only being used as a siman. It's being used as a siman to remember who holds what. For a siman, Yossi could be substituted with Yosef. But that doesn't mean that they're exactly the same name. Moreover, I saw that if it is the same name, from here we would have a proof that people could give nicknames. But I saw that the Sefer Tamei Menhagim quotes that one of the great Chassidish Rebbes was Rav Shmelka Menikersberg. And Rav Shmelka Menikersberg was Nifter when he was 52 years old, the same age that Shmuel HaNavi was Nifter when Shmuel HaNavi was Nifter 52 years old. And they said that he is the same neshama as Shmuel HaNavi. But as much as they said that he is the same neshama as Shmuel HaNavi, they said that had he not had his name, his real name was Shmuel, but everybody called him Shmelka. If he would have been called Shmuel, like Shmuel HaNavi was called, he would have been equivalent to Shmuel. If the name is not exactly the same, then you don't have the power of that name. And therefore, the Sefer Tamei Menhagim suggests that you should call a person and not call them by their nickname. So our Gemara says that the way to remember that this was Rabbi Yosef's opinion, that you pay for the bottom floor is because the Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. So I saw that Yosef was Yosef HaTzadik. And what Yosef HaTzadik represents is the midah of Yisoid. Yisoid means that a person is careful in issues of Tahara. And the Sfarim explained, Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma, midas Yisoid, which represents the midah of being careful in Tahara Yisoid, which is the basis of the world. So the Pasuk says that Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma, Yosef was the foundation of the world. And that's the same as that we learned in our Gemara, that Hurad, the bottom apartment, which is the foundation of the house, is the one that has to pay. And that what we learn from here is that the midah of Yisoid is a critical midah in our Avodas Hashem. So Gemara says, we just had a machlokes. Whose responsibility is to pay for the ceiling? Asked the Gemara that according to Rabbi Yosef, we learned in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yosef says that the upper one has to pay for the ceiling, and the Chachamim say the bottom. It seems that that's the opinion of the Chachamim. So suggest the Gemara, Leim Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Loi b'pluk to Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan kamafki. They argue with this machlokes, and the basis of the machlokes is going to be Laman Dama Elya Masakin. The one that says that the upper apartment has to fix this floor ceiling, a mazik lahachis atzim and a nizik. Whenever you have a situation of a mazik and a nizik, the mazik it has the primary responsibility not to cause damage. Uman da amar tachta masakin. On the other hand, the opinion that holds that the bottom apartment has to fix, his opinion is ksav al nizik lahachis atzim and a mazik. The person who's going to get damaged has to do everything within his power to prevent that from happening. Ask the Gemara Tisbara, does that make sense? The Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan Linyan Nazikin Pligi, are we saying, is it sensible to say that that's the Machlokes? Because ask the Gemara, Lifcha Shemin Allah. Actually, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Chof Hei Amid Beis, just the opposite. The Mishnah says, the Machikin Tse'ilam and Abar, we have to distance a tree that's coming close, that its roots are starting to spread into somebody else's pit. 24 amos. and a charav and a shikma, which a carob tree and a sycamore tree, who have bigger and longer roots. There we have to separate them by chamishim amma. And this halacha, says the Gemara, applies bay milmala, whether if the bar is below the tree, that means it's on an incline with the tree being higher and the bar being lower. Bay minatzad, they're both on the same level, but continues the Mishnah. Im a bar kaidim l'ilam, if the bar was there first, kaitz tzunais and damim, the person who owns the tree has to take away his tree, and the person who owns the bar has to compensate him. Vim ilan kadam, but if the tree was there first, lo yakutz, then you can't demand that the person who has the tree should have to cut it down. Suf exek kadam, if we're not certain which one is there first, lo yakutz, we apply here the halacha that we have throughout Shas of a mitzvah mechavera olavaraya. So since you can't definitively claim that I should not have planted my tree there, you can't make me cut it down. However, the Meiri points out that this discussions that we're having here are only in a situation when the tree and the bar belong to individuals. And now the question is, who is and who isn't responsible? But when we're referring to a situation where the tree is affecting the Rishus HaRabim, the Bar Rishus HaRabim, then, of course, we have to cut down the tree under all circumstances. Rav Yosi Amar Apishad Bar Kedemes L'Ilan, even in a situation where the bar was there first, La Yokitz, the owner of the tree should not cut down his tree. Shezeh Zeh Chayv B'Tay Shaloi, this person indeed dug a pit in his property, and everybody has a right to do what he needs to do in his property. And the Ramah says that according to Rabbi Yossi, not only can the person who owns the bar not demand of the person who owns the tree to cut down the tree, but I'm allowed to plant the tree there, l'chatchila. Alma. So what do we see from that Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi Sava al nizik la'achitz tzatzmai. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that the Baal HaBor has to worry about what's going to happen to his bar, even though he is the one that's going to be damaged, not the person who planted the tree, who's the one that's doing the damage. Rabbanon Tzavri, whereas the opinion of the Rabbanon, who say that the person who has the tree has to cut down the tree, because they're obviously of the opinion that a mazik lahachikas atzmai, that he has to do whatever he has to do to avoid. And the Shilta Gebarim points out that even Reb Yossi, who says al nizik lahachikas atzmai, that's when it's not very significant damage. Where, however, the damage is significant, and there's nothing that the person who's getting damaged could do to prevent it, then even Rabbi Yossi will agree that the mazik has to take care of himself. El ikla meimer, so says the Gemara, so we see that the machloikis in our Mishnah is the opposite of the machloikis over there. El ikla meimer, says the Gemara, if we're going to say that the machloikis beplukt Rabbi Yossi Rabbanan the Hasam Kamufki. Rabbi Chibar Ava says that the person on the top has to fix the ceiling. Holds like the Chachamim that al mazik lahachikas atzmai. Rabbi Loi, who says that the person on the bottom has to fix, holds like Rabbi Yosef al nizik lahachikas atzmai. Says the Gemara. So if that's the case, that the Mishnah over here is not speaking about a case where the water is dripping down, so what is the basis of the machloikas in our Mishnah? Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan the Hocha b'may pligi, says the Gemara, b'chayzik tikri kabufki. The question over here is where there's a ceiling, a floor and a ceiling, obviously, which is not strong. And the question is, who has the responsibility to fix it? Rabbanan Sama Maziv Achuk Zikri Tikri. The cement that is between the floor and the ceiling is primarily there to strengthen the ceiling. And therefore, Vachzuki Tikra, since it's primarily there for the ceiling, so this is the ceiling for the person who lives downstairs. Vachzuki Tikra, therefore it's his responsibility. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that the primary purpose of the ceiling is Mazivas Jui Gumasir, is to make the floor of the upper house, of the upper story, straight. And since the person who lives upstairs is going to be walking on that floor, it's his responsibility. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that correct that Rabbi Eloi, who holds like Rabbi Yosef, doesn't require that the upper partner should have to fix the ceiling when it's doing damage? From Rav Ashi, Kavina Be'Rav Kahana, when I learned in the yeshiva, Havraminen, we said that the Rabbi Yossi, then a case of Giri delay. And there's Machlokes Rashi and other Rishonim, what is the definition of Giri delay? One definition is if somebody's standing in his own property and he's shooting arrows into somebody else's property, so that he's the Mazik, he has to pay. When a person is actually doing damage, even though the damage is emanating from his own property, the other person could stop him. When Rabbi Yossi taught us early in our shir, that's only where it's not the person is actually physically causing damage. It was the case that we learned where somebody planted a tree in his property. When he planted the tree wasn't doing any damage to the bar in the next property. Only when the roots grew and expanded, that's when Rabbi Yossi held that al nizik l'hachikas atzmai. So in this case, where the water is dripping down, why does Rabbi Eloi, who holds like Rabbi Yossi, say that the upper partner doesn't have to do anything? Why is this not considered a definition? Why is this not considered giri delay? So there's a way to understand, according to Rashi, there's a difference if I'm actually doing damage, I'm shooting an arrow, the words are giri delay, versus when the damage is coming not directly because of me. The Shita quotes other Rishonim that differentiate giri delay, where the damage is, as I create this situation, the damage is done. What does that mean? As I shoot the arrows, the damage is being done. In the case of our Mishnah, the damage is not being done as soon as this was built. The damage is only coming later when the water goes from upstairs to downstairs. And since it's only being created at the time where it's going from upstairs to downstairs, that's why it's not considered. That's why they don't consider that a situation of giri delay. So the question is, here, it's a giri delay. So the question is, if I'm pouring water, that's giri delay. And why am I not chayiv? Answers the Gemara, it's not a case where the water is coming down immediately. In the case where the water is coming down immediately, it would be considered giri delay. Rather, it's the case, the paskamayim, the water first stops, and then afterwards, I guess they come together, and then they start going downstairs. And therefore, the halacha is that it's not considered that it's his responsibility to fix it. However, the Rosh says that even though the way we're learning now, it's not the responsibility of the person upstairs to have to fix the ceiling if the water isn't going down directly immediately, still, he should not be pouring water in his house in a way that ultimately the water will be going from upstairs to downstairs. Because doing that is called grama ben nezakim. So even though, as we learned extensively, the halacha is a masechta baba kama, that you can't
be mechayiv somebody. You can't make somebody pay in a situation of grum of nezakin. But even though you can't make somebody pay in a situation of grum of nezakin, of course one is not a make a grum of nezakin. Habayis v'liyish l'shneim. Again, a situation where one person owns the bottom floor and one person owns the upper floor, shenaflu, and the entire house collapsed. Vama balabliyah l'balabayis. So the person who lives upstairs says to the person who lives downstairs, let's live nice. Let's rebuild the house so that we can continue living here. For who any rights to live nice? And the person who lives downstairs doesn't want to rebuild. And obviously, you can't rebuild an upper apartment until the bottom apartment is rebuilt. Says the Mishnah, Bal Aliyah Bainas Abayis, the person who lives upstairs rebuilds the bottom floor. V'dar b'taychayin lives there, achitin l'yitziyosav, until the person who lived downstairs pays for that rebuilding, and then afterwards he'll rebuild his upper floor. Rabbi Huda says, avzeh dar b'taych shel chaveray, says Rabbi Huda, if we're going to allow this to happen, what's going to happen is that the person who lives upstairs ultimately is going to get his money, and besides ultimately receiving the money that he laid out for paying for living downstairs and now using that money to rebuild the upstairs apartment, what's going to happen now is that he lived downstairs free, rent free, and this is a form of ribbis. Of course, the Rishonim point out, going back to what we learned earlier in the Masechta, that this is it's not ribbis d'oraisa, it's only ribbis d'rabbanan, because it wasn't a loan here. We only have a situation of ribbis d'oraisa, which is when somebody loaned money on interest. There was no money loaned on interest here, but if I profit from your money, that we learned is still considered ribbis. And therefore, how could I do so? So the Achrayim ask a question. You didn't have an apartment anyway, so why can't I live there? So the Achrayim respond that even though you're not losing anything by me living there, because you don't have an apartment, and under normal circumstances, this would be in the category of what we discussed earlier in our shiur of Zen Nen of Zel Chaser, it still doesn't change the reality, explained those Achrayim, that it looks like ribbis. And that's why maybe anyone else would not have a problem. I have a problem. Ella, so therefore, what should be done? So therefore, tzarch la'alos haschar. He has to pay rent for that entire period that he was there. Ella, so how could he avoid having that expense? Says the Mishnah. Balabai liya bayinus abayis v'liya. He should build both floors. Umakras el yoyna. And he puts a roof on top of the upper floor. Now I'm not benefiting from you because my apartment's ready, and therefore he could stay there until he reimburses me. Says the Gemara in three different places in Halacha, has Rabbi Yehuda taught us, in three different places has Rabbi Yehuda taught us, that asal adam shi'ana imam mechaveroi, you can't benefit from somebody else's money without their permission. Chada, one is Ahad Tanan. Our Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda said that I can't be living, the person who owns the upper apartment cannot be living in the bottom apartment rent-free. Idach Mahi, what are the other case? The Tanan, we learned the Masech B'Bakamad of Kuf on the base. The Mishnah taught us, Noisit Samuel Tzaba. Somebody gave wool to somebody who dies the wool, litzvalei edoim, and asked them to dye it red. And instead of dyeing it red, v'tzava shachar, he dyed it black, or vice versa, shachar v'tzava edoim. Remei aimer, nice lemei tzemer. The person became the owner of this wool, and now the person has to give how much it's worth. He has to pay him how much it was worth. He caused him a loss. I didn't want this color. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if it went up in value. It obviously went up in value. I had an uncolored piece of wool, and now I have a colored piece of wool. So the halacha is as follows. If the amount that it got improved was more than the expense in making it go up in value, nicely, so you just have to reimburse the expenses. But if the expenses are more than the increased value, nice and low, as a shvach, he has to pay him the small amount, how much it went up. So the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, that under normal circumstances, we learned the Masech Bekama, that a gazlan is kind of bishinui. That gazlan, who makes a change in the object that he stole, becomes the owner of that. Here, why doesn't everybody agree that? Because here it's a situation where he didn't have intent to steal. If I intend to steal something, so then the argument can be made that I, the gazlan, had intention to steal. And the halach is that if I make a shinui, I will be held responsible for any shinui that I make. But here, I didn't intend to steal. I just didn't follow the instructions correctly. And in that case, we don't automatically say that the gazlan is kind of bishinui. What is the third place? So again, this is a place where this is what happens when you don't follow instructions. V'itach ma'hi, the tana mishapara mixes chavei. Somebody paid back, a loiva paid the back to the malva part of the loan that he owns. And what should be done is that a new shtar should be written because the original amount is not the amount that's owed now. But they don't want to write a new shtar. Could be for a number of reasons. They don't want to write a new shtar because there's cost involved in writing a new shtar. Another reason why a new shtar shouldn't be written, because if the new shtar is going to be written, the date of the new shtar will be today's date. And they don't want it to be today's date. They want it to be the date which was there from the beginning. So in this case, what is done? Hishtas ashtaroi. They leave the shtar with a third party. Vamaloi. And now the loiva tells the sholish, im any noisalach bekanvat ploni, if the loiva says, if I don't pay the balance up to a certain date, tein lo shtaroi. You can give back the shtar to the malva, even though that will give the malva the ability to collect the entire amount. And hagiyaz man, when the time came, v'lo nosen, and the loiva didn't do it. Rabbi Yosef says, he gave instructions. Follow the instructions. Rabbi Yudaima, lo yitain, you don't. Because if you give, it could come out that the malva will receive money that he is not, the malva will receive money that he's not entitled to. The Rishonim point out what's going to be a locha if the loiva died, then it would be a whole different situation. If the loiva died, then it wasn't that we had a situation where he just chose not to fulfill his condition. Here, then it's a situation where it was beyond his control, unfortunately, and then the halacha is that he would not be held, that he would not be held responsible. Says the Gemara, Amai, says the Gemara, who says that all of these Mishnayis are indication that Rabbi Yehuda holds you're not allowed to benefit from somebody else? And the Gemara says why each case is unique. If I live in somebody else's apartment, I'm ruining that apartment. And that's why it's not a situation of zen nen of zele chaser. I'm actually causing your loss. And I saw the Rishonim want to point out that this concept of ikish chrusay is maybe only in a new house. And that's where you had nice, beautiful painted walls. In an old house, then there is no such concept. And I think the reason the Rishonim say it, because we learned the Masech Baba Kama, the concept of Zen Nen of Zolei Chasser, when I live in your apartment. Now, if there's always going to be Shachirusei, that by me living in your apartment, I'm ruining the apartment, so then how will we ever have Zen Nen of Zolei Chasser? So here we're talking about a new apartment, and a new apartment which is nice and fresh, and then somebody else living it takes that away. I didn't follow instructions. I wanted dyed in one color, and it was dyed in a different color. And we know that we learned earlier in the Masechta, the Kol Hamshana Yadol Tachtonai. In the case of Misha Parah, Mixes Chayv and Nami, that's a unique situation altogether, because that was an Asmachta. When this Loiva told the Sholish that if I don't pay by a certain time, that I'll pay this, giving back the whole shtar, which will expose me to have to paying the whole loan, that's something that I only took it on because I was certain it will never happen. And with Shemini and Rabbi Yehuda Amar, we hear Rabbi Yehuda says, his opinion is the Meshach de Loikani. The Pasuk in Pashas for Yishlach says that Yaakov Avinu said, V'yoyim Yaakov, Elokei Avi Avram V'Elokei Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov Avinu, Rashi says, turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu made two commitments to me. One, when I left my father's home in Be'er Sheva, where you said to me, Ani Hashem Elokei Avram Avicha V'Elokei Yitzchak, and you said to me, V'shemarticha B'chol Shetelech, and in Beis Lovin, you said to me, Shuv L'atzcha V'Avisecha U'lamaratecha, imach, and Yaakov Avinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, "B'shtei haftachas elu, with these two commitments you made to me in the Ebola Fnecha." The question is, why did Yaakov Avinu have to make this long speech? So the Sefer Shema Yaakov quotes the Shach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told of Yaakov Avinu, "Kiloy azavcha ad asher m'sisi eshidibarti loch." Im, he says, is an asmachta. And we're learning that Rabbi Yehuda just said that asmachta loikanya. So the asmachta loikanya, the commitment that Kaviyochla HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, he doesn't have to follow. But he says that the Shulchan Aruch says in Choshe Mishpat, Simen Kuf Chav Tes Sif Aleph, teaches us that wherever you have in a situation of an asmachta, if the smachta is accompanied with a shvua, then it's not considered an smachta. And the Gemara Masechta Shvuos, he explains, reminds us that Flama Vava Man Aleph says that if somebody says something twice, it's considered a shvua. And that's what Yaakov Avinu was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You made this commitment. If there will be an argument that this, if there will be an argument that this commitment was an asmachta, and the reason you'd be able to say so is because the word im was said. So now I counter to you, says Yaakov Avinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shtei aftochas, you said it twice. If you said it twice, then the halacha is that it's not an asmachta, and therefore it has to be followed. Amar Rav Acha bar Adam Shmeid Ula, tachten, if the house, as we just learned in our Mishnah, fell, and they're rebuilding the house, says the Mishnah, so the tachten habol shanas, if the person who lives on the bottom floor wants to change begvil, that if the house was built from avnei gozes, and this type of stone, which is typically 5 tefachim wide, and now he wants to use gvil stones, which are 6 tefachim wide, because these are better stones. However, if it was originally built with the Gaza stone, which is 6 tefachim, and now he wants to make the cheaper stone, ain't shemalai. Similarly, bekfisin, if it was originally built with 3 tefachim stone, and now he wants to use kfisim, which are 4 tefachim stone, shemalai. But if it was originally built with 4 tefachim stone, and now he wants to build it with levanim, which are 3 tefachim stone, ain't shamloi, we don't allow him. Lesach barozim, if he was originally had the ceilings made out of shikma wood, and now he wants to use a rosin wood, shamloi, because a rosin are stronger than shikma, and therefore they can hold the weight better. But if it was originally built, but if he wants to go down from a rosin to shikamim, ain't shemloi, he can't. Lamat b'chalonos, if he wants to have less windows than there were originally, shemloi, because putting windows into the wall weakened the wall. L'rehabis b'chaloinus, if they want to have more wall windows, ain't shemim loy. L'hagbia, to make the walls long, taller. L'hagbia, to make the walls longer than they were originally, ain't shemim loy. L'mat, if he wants to make the walls shorter, then the halacha is the shemim loy. The Rosh makes a point that this entire discussion that we're having here is only in a situation where he wants to change from the Minig HaMedina. But if there's a Minig HaMedina, which is the standard way everybody builds, so he only has to build the way everybody else builds. That's the Rosh quoting the Ravid. The Meiri disagrees. And the Meiri says that in this situation, even though we've learned so many times in our Masechta that we follow the Minig HaMedina, here, since it was built in a specific fashion, you can't change from the way it was built unless both partners agree. Elyon Shabbal Shanas, if the person who lives upstairs wants to change, he wants to originally had a thicker wall and now he has a thinner, wants to make a narrower wall, Shemloi. Because that's to the benefit of the person who lives downstairs. There wouldn't be so much weight. Bigvil ain't shemulai. But if he wants to make a heavier wall, that bottom owner could say, no, I don't want that because you're going to ruin the house. Bigfisin ain't shemulai. The same thing. If he wants to use kfisim, we don't listen because they are wider. Bilvadim, if he wants to make not such heavy stone, shemulai. Barozim, if he wants to use heavier beams, ain't shemeloi, b'shikma shemeloi. L'rabbis b'chaloinus, if he wants to have more windows, shemeloi, then we listen, because a wall with windows is lighter than a wall without windows. L'mat b'chaloinus, ain't shemeloi, because that will make the wall heavier, and by making the wall heavier, it'll be a problem for the person downstairs. L'mat, if he wants to, lagbia, if he wants to make the upper story higher, ain't shemeloi, because again, that puts pressure on the bottom wall. Lamat, if he wants to make it less than the halacha, it's not a problem. Let's say we have a situation where the house collapsed, and neither of these two people have the ability to rebuild the house. Mai, what is the halacha? So now they want to divide the property. So the lower floor says, well, my house is on the property, not yours. The person who lives downstairs takes 2/3 of the value of the property. And the person upstairs gets a third of the value. The Cherim say just the opposite. The person downstairs gets shlosh chalakim, gets 3/4, velya noita revia, and upstairs gets 1/4. Amar Rava, to which Rava says, the koit Reb Nosson biyotcha, follow the rule of Reb Nosson, the dayanahu, he's an expert dayan, the nochas l'umka dedina, and he's very careful and he knows what he's saying. Kasover, kama mafsar aliyah b'bayis, how much does the downstairs apartment go down in value because of the upstairs apartment? Kama mafsid aliyah b'bayis tilsa. Because if this house did not have an upper story, it would be able to last much longer. It goes down in value and it goes down in longevity by 1/3. And therefore, the downstairs apartment is only worth 2/3 of what a house that doesn't have an upstairs apartment. And therefore, that third belongs to the upper apartment. Hilchach Islay Tilsa. That's why the halacha is that the upper apartment has the value of 1/3 of this real estate.